so quiet, but I'm getting there. I'm learning. Praise God. Well, it's an honor to be here. And I just, Father, I just ask that you just bring forth what you desire today. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who does guide, direct, he teaches, he instructs, he helps us in every step of the way. So we're asking right now that the Holy Spirit, the helper, would help bring forth what you desire for these people, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and glorified, and we grow from glory to glory and grace to grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. So how does it look? Is there, at the end, no hope whatsoever? Well, we had a 3.5-minute video clip from the last Ghana trip, but we're having technical difficulties, so we may not get that. But I just came back in mid-April, and it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And our worship leader's wife went with us, and one of my grandsons went with, and we got a list of grandkids that want to go. And two of them have gone now, and it's just such a pleasure to be able to sow into their lives and see them just grab hold of what God has for them. And he's so good. He's so good. This is one of my granddaughters here. Want to stand up and wave at everybody? This is Violet. She's named after her great, great grandmother. Two greats. And this is her other grandma, Marianne, and her special friend, Fred. So greet them if you have a chance. But what I want to talk to you today about is purposed faith. You know, sometimes we can come to church and let's just see what happens today. Anybody ever done that, or just me? But we're here for purpose. God has called us all on purpose for a purpose. Every minute of our life, there's purpose to it. Nothing is just happenstance. Amen? So our faith and what God has said in our hearts, we need to move with that in purpose. We need to have an expectation. Amen? Because when we come to church, it's not to see what God's going to do for us, but we're to meet with him. We want to bless him. We want to glorify him. We want to open our hearts wide to receive from him so that we can continue to grow. Because as long as we're here on this earth, we have that opportunity. It's not till we see him face to face that we're going to be like him. Amen. In the fullness of who he is. The potential is here, right? Because the greater one dwells on the inside of us. He inhabits us. Aren't you glad? That you know, his one of the names that he was called, it said he was Emmanuel, God with us. And the Word of God declares he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And we can have a confidence in that. And we need to. If we want to move in the things of God, if we want to be vessels, instruments for his hand that he can use whenever he wants, He's just looking for willing vessels. Amen. Someone will say, okay, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Open my mouth. Fill it. I'll open it. You fill it. Amen. But he can do that. Amen. If we're willing, if we believe it. But if we don't believe in the greater one on the inside of us, if we don't really acknowledge the fact that we are anointed of God, that we've been gifted by God, that there has been an impartation of his Spirit on the inside of us, and he directs us and guides us, then we'll never step into the place of the things that he has already provided for us. Amen? Because there's a little bit of, oh, we're just not quite sure. So one of the things that will help you in that is going through the scripture, and wherever it says in him, in whom, highlight those. Look at who you are in Christ. Really grasp hold. If you're not getting it when you read through it, then just meditate on that. Amen. Write them out. Post them on your mirror in the bathroom so you can think of that while you're getting ready for your day. Amen? But we need to know one of the most important things after we know we're saved is to know who he is and what he's provided for us. And in so doing, we find out who we are and what we have because of it. Amen? But we're going to look at some purpose faith in Luke 6, verses 17 through 19. It talks about this. And we're going to talk about healing, but there's a lot of application that we can put towards anything you're believing God for. If you're believing for God to use you, amen, for anointing, for ministry, if you're believing for finances, if you're believing just for clear direction that you hear from Him, if you're believing for health for your body, that's what we're looking at primarily here today. But you can apply these truths and principles to any area of faith that there is, because they all work and they all apply. So Luke 6, verse 17, it says, "And He came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of His disciples and a great multitude of people came out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear Him to be healed of their diseases." Now they came purpose, didn't they? What was their purpose? To hear Him and to be healed. Amen. And they're tied together. Amen. The word, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Amen. You can be inspired because somebody else was healed. Amen. We can get stirred up and excited and jump up and down and hoot and holler because somebody else got healed. But your faith has to be rooted in the word of God. Amen. For your healing, for your obtaining anything that God has for you, it's because it's based in the Word. That's what you build everything in your life on. Not dreams and visions and prophecies and everything else. Those are good. Those are to confirm what has been spoken to our spirit through the Word and by God Himself. But His Word is our primary factor. Amen? Aren't you glad for the Word of God? It is life. It's truth. Amen. Everything we need is contained in the Word of God. Every answer you've ever looked for. So they came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed. Hallelujah. And the whole multitude sought to touch them, to touch Him. For there went virtue out of Him. Well, what is virtue? It's the same word, dunamis. It's power. It's the anointing. Amen. It went out of Him into them. So they sought to touch Him because of it. Amen. They saw something was happening when Jesus touches the people or the people touch Jesus. There's a release of that anointing. Well, Jesus isn't here today. Or is He? I need the handheld. Oh, yay. Good. Yay. So anyways, God is so good. And He is here today. Jesus, He's never going to leave you and He's never going to forsake you. And where does He live? Where is the Spirit of the living God? He's housed in a temple in Jerusalem. He's in heaven. Well, He can be everywhere, can't He? But where's the major place that you need to know that your God is? That the Spirit of the living God is? He comes to dwell within, doesn't He? He comes to help us, to lead us, to direct us, instruct us. Amen. Empower us to bring peace, to bring joy. Everything we have need of pertaining to life and godliness, we have received from Him. Amen. He's imparted it to us. He's deposited. Grace is actually deposited within your spirit. And you can tap into that and do whatever's required of you through the Word of God. Sometimes you look, oh, I can't do that. First time they wanted me to do a crusade in Africa. Ah, about ran out of the room. thought, no way, no way. I am not an evangelist. I cannot do crusade. That, nope, the students are going to do it. This is their training ground. I'm just here to teach the students. Oh, well, they wouldn't have it. Says, no, Mom, you're in Africa. You have to do a crusade. Fear and trembling. I did a crusade. And I saw a multitude of people come to the Lord. It was the most glorious thing. But I knew what I could do. I couldn't do that myself. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's absolutely what I have to do for everything in life, because I know what my limits are. And they're pretty small. In the natural, I don't have a multitude of talents and abilities. But by the grace of God, I can do whatever He sets me to. And you're in the same boat I am. Amen? So if God puts you in a position where you need to tap into His grace to do, it's there for you to do it. Why? Because He indwells you. Amen. He's right there with you. He'll help you. Amen. Aren't you glad? I am so thankful for the God that we serve. But all of us have this dunamis power. So when you go to minister to your neighbor, when you go to a family reunion, when you go to Walmart or to the workplace, He's going with you. That anointing, 1 John 1:20 and 2:20 and 2:27, we can look at those, and it says there's an anointing from the Great One. We have an anointing from God. Amen. Now, does the Word of God say that? So, do you believe it? Are you anointed? Can you be bold and say, I am anointed of God? You know, Jesus had to be anointed. Jesus of Nazareth had to be anointed of God. Why? Because He came in the flesh. He laid aside His deity, all of His godly attributes. He laid them aside. He came as a man, and He served in the flesh, dependent on hearing from God in His leading. So He had to be anointed by the Spirit of God, and He only did what the Father showed Him to do. He only said what the Father told Him to say. Amen. So He's our ultimate example. Because when we put God in a category that God's over here, that Jesus is over there, and we'll never amount, we can't do anything Jesus, because Jesus, well, Jesus, yeah, He is the Son of God. He is, in a sense, in His own category, but He laid it all aside to function as a man, dependent on God to show us how to do it. Amen. So what does that say for you? There's some unlimited things the body of Christ has not tapped into or believed God for yet, because we're waiting to feel something from God. We're waiting for His anointing to fall. Well, His anointing resides. There's an anointing within, and there's an anointing upon. But we're not even tapping into what we got yet. Amen. We need to kick it up a notch. Amen. The whole world is groaning and waiting that the sons of God be revealed. They're anticipating it. They don't even know exactly what's going on because they don't see it yet. But there's a day coming when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord's going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea, and there's not going to be one spot where people are not aware that God's glory, His power, His love is being poured out on this earth. And we get to be a part of that. The only way it can happen is when the body of Christ grabs hold of that truth. Because He needs you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. God's hope for glory. God has faith in you. He has faith in me. Talk about a faith God. I mean, Really, we look at the body of Christ, and are we walking in all of the light of what's been shed? But he says without spot and without wrinkle, he's coming back for his bride. Amen. I don't know if you're excited about that, but I like it when, you know, I look pretty spiffy. He's going to make sure it happens. Amen. That we're just right in order, that we're going to hear. If you're pressing into God, if you're moving towards God, if you're hungry for Him and the things of God, if you're not just singing songs just to sing, or if you're not reading the Word religiously because you have to get your time in, but if you're seeking Him in the midst of it, I'm telling you what, you're growing. You're growing in grace, you're growing in knowledge, you're growing in glory. It's from glory to glory, grace to grace. It's always an upward movement with the things of God. We'll be there. Amen. We've got to take the pressure off ourselves and just press into what He said. Amen? Amen. You know, because we do that. We put ourselves under this pressure and then we think we can't perform. Well, the only pressure you are under is to follow God and obey Him. And you step out on that water. What happened when Peter stepped on the water? Jesus' word said, come. He spoke a word. We have the word of God. When he said, come, and he was obedient to that word, what happened? He stood on the water. What happened when he started looking around and saying, I can't do this? He began, which is a miracle in itself. Right? Who begins to sink? You either sink or you don't, right? So he began to sink and Jesus reached and pulled him up. And he stood again. And a lot of us have, you know, we got our nose above the water and that's about it. And it's time to, hey, no, God said I can do this. God said we can have this. We got to come to a place where we're not going to be denied. That's what was special about their faith here. They were not going to be denied. They purposed. They saw something. Actually, I'm not even sure where it is. Let me see. Just before this, in Luke chapter 5, this is probably where some of their faith came from. Verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, now wait a minute, I'm just going to back up. Now, we're not going to read the whole passage because this is all you need to see from here. What happened here? He had a question. Lord, if you're willing. He didn't know if God, if he would be willing. If he was available. If he was a subject, I guess. I don't know what word to use there. But if God would will to heal him. He didn't know that. There's two things that absolutely have to be answered for you to be healed. Can God heal you? How many believe he can? What makes you think he can? It's his... Well, that jumps over to this one, doesn't it? Uh-huh. So, he can because... Now, we're looking Old Testament. This is New Testament, but it is Old Testament. You see what I'm saying? It's in Luke, which is the New Testament. But Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and paid the price, right? We're in a new covenant. We're in a different place than he was. He didn't know. How much more should we know? Because the price has been paid. He gave everything. He gave his life. He laid his deity aside. He came in the flesh. He gave it all. He served all of mankind. Amen. For us to partake of the gift of our salvation. He gave it all. You know, you look at those stripes. How many have seen The Passion? If you have not seen that movie, you need to dig it out. Get it. Look at it. It's gruesome to see him whipped. But that was the price he paid. If he was just paying for our sins, he did it on the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took a crown of thorns so that we might have peace. He paid for that. But by his stripes, what stripes? We think of a little whip with one little thing. This was a cat of nine tails. Many strands with broken glass and rock and stone wire and all these things purposed that when it went into the flesh, it ripped it out. What we see in the Passion is nothing, they say, compared to what he actually would look like. And in the book of Isaiah, it says that he was not even recognizable as a man. Can you imagine to be tortured to that extent? But that's the price he paid. He says, you're worth it. You're valuable. You're precious. I love you. And I'm willing to do this. And then we say, God, are you willing? If you're willing. Now, he didn't know. Jesus was still on the earth. He wasn't sure. Is this the will of God? Is this not the will of God? Well, God can because he's already done the ultimate sacrifice. And will he? He's given it all. It is the will of God that none should perish. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. It doesn't just mean, which I thought when I was first saved, praise God, I go to heaven. I am so thankful. Because before that, I was going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, in a hurry. My life was not a pretty one. I was doing all sorts of illegal and immoral things. But God, hallelujah. He stepped in. He saved me out of that. He restored my life. Amen. But for the first 10 years of my Christian walk, I didn't know anything other than I was going to heaven. I didn't know he was my healer and my deliverer. I didn't know, I didn't understand that he'd empower me and equip me. I didn't get all that. It was later on that I started to understand when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with his Spirit. My eyes were opened up. Amen. But things are progressive in God. We grow. Amen. But we're coming up. Aren't you glad? But here, their faith. Is he willing? I guess that's the question I need to answer before I go on. Is he willing? When you see what he suffered, when you see how he was tortured, when you see that he did it willingly, that he gave himself completely, do you think he's willing? He died once for all. And that's the saddest thing when people are faced at the judgment seat, that they were paid for. They're not going to hell at that point because their sins weren't paid for, because they were. They would be going because they didn't receive the gift that he gave for their salvation. That's pretty sad. But in salvation, that all-inclusive word, it's everything. He's given us everything pertaining to life, everything pertaining to godliness. We lack for no good thing those that walk upright. Amen. He's given us everything. And healing is a part of that. Amen. It belongs to you. Well, I don't know if I can get it. I don't know. I don't know if he'll give it to me. He already has. In the book of Romans, it says, the resurrection, the power of God dwells on the inside. The same power, it says, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you to quicken or make alive your mortal body. It's on the inside of us. Always. But you know what we're looking for? Somebody to come. But you know what? If nobody's around, you and God are majority. Amen? Amen? And you and God can see it come to pass. Amen. See, the enemy is defeated. He's a defeated foe. And we just enforce his defeat. But some of us still think he's got victory over us. We've got to change our thinking. He does not have victory over you unless you lay down to him. You have victory over him. You are more than a conqueror in and of yourself? No. But in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're to rule and reign. He's seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us everything to walk that out. He gave us back authority that was lost. He's positioned us properly so that we can receive everything we need. Aren't you thankful? Oh my goodness. It's not just to sit here till we get to heaven. Amen. He's empowered us to live in victory and to help people around us to that place of victory as well. Amen. He's put good things in you. Amen. He's empowered you. He's given you wisdom. You have the mind of Christ. Amen. So we're not lacking for anything. But the thing here is, when this man with leprosy said, "If you're willing, heal me and make me clean," Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "I am willing." So that was the basis for their faith. Amen. What did they do? They came to hear him and to be healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for virtue went out of him. Amen. They came seeking him. Well, let's go on a little bit here. In Mark 5:25, it says, "A certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." That's kind of a discouraging position to be in. You know, we're redeemed from the hereditary curse. You know that, right? According to Deuteronomy 28, Galatians 3:15, I think it is. We're redeemed. Deuteronomy tells us what that curse is. We're redeemed from all those things in the curse. And some of the things that are in there that we just think are just natural, one thing that's under the curse is hereditary diseases. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, Aunt Susie might have had something, and, well, I'll tell you what happened to me. My great-grandma had uterine cancer when she was 37. My grandma had it when she was 35. My mother had it when she was 32. See the pattern there? It keeps going down a generation, 2 years. For years, I said, "I'll probably have it by the time I'm 30. I'll probably have it by the time I'm 30. I'll probably have it by the time I'm 30. How dumb is that? I didn't know you can be snared by the words of your mouth. I didn't know life and death were in the power of the tongue. This is before I came into this understanding. But I was under a hereditary curse. I didn't know that I was redeemed from that until I went to a seminar where Marilyn Hickey was teaching on that. Thank God I went when I was 28. Hallelujah. And I heard this teaching, and I just laid claim. That's mine. Amen. I don't have to have uterine cancer by the time I'm 30. I'm free from the curse of the law. Jesus set me free. I don't have to accept just because diabetes runs in a family, just because cancer runs in a family, just because different things are inherited by some of your other relatives doesn't mean that you have to be in that, because you're under a new bloodline. Amen? We're joint heirs with Christ. Amen? Our Heavenly Father is Father God. There has been a transference, and we don't have to accept everything that comes along. Amen? Aren't you glad? So, and then lingering diseases, things that just hang on for years and years and not making any progress. We're redeemed from that. That's under that curse in Deuteronomy 28. We're redeemed from that. This woman had 12 years She'd been hemorrhaging 12 years. And I went through a period in my life where it was a short time, but in about a year's time, I fell asleep driving about a dozen times because I was so exhausted because I had an issue of blood. I was hemorrhaging. There, I was tapped out, and it was horrific. I know what she's talking about. And you get in a weakened state. Now, this woman had heard something as well. But she had to push past. It doesn't matter what the doctors have said. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter how long you've had it. There is a new day, and it's called today. And today is the day of salvation. Amen? You can put your faith and your confidence in Him, and you can cast all those things aside. Say, no, I don't care. This thing's been hanging on long enough. Today's a new day, and I'm taking it now. Amen. You take your stand. You just plant your foot down. Draw a line of demarcation. You've gone this far, no further. Amen. You got to get nasty with the devil. Amen. Enforce his defeat. He's not going to win over you unless you just lay down and let him tromp on you. Amen. So you just get toe-to-toe with him if you have to and say, you're not crossing this line. This is a line of victory. This is a line of health. This is a line of prosperity. Amen. I know the will of God for my life. I'm equipped. I have everything I need of. You're not going to steal anymore. Because what is he to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came what? So that you'd have life and have it what? More abundantly. Not less, more. What's abundant? It's more than enough, isn't it? So what's more abundant? More than enough. Amen? It's one of those pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, right? God's wanting to bless our socks off. He wants it just streaming out here and into the streets. Amen. He wants you to have too much so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Too much energy. You're like the ever-ready bunny. Oh, I'm tired. I just can't. No. He does something to us. Amen? It's not time to quit. It's not time to slow down. Amen? Don't give yourself excuses. I remember about a year ago, I started saying, I just don't have the energy I used to. I just don't have the energy I'm used to. I'm tired. I don't know. I must be getting, I'm over 60 now, so, you know, snared by the words of your mouth, amen? I had to shut my mouth. Just shut it. Because I was given place and making a way for it. No, he renews our youth like the eagles. And if he renews it, energy is one of those things. You know, you look at the young kids and they're just, what are you doing? You're sitting still. How come? They go, don't they? Amen. And we need to do the same. Just not quit. Not give up. So anyways, I'm going to get this out, I think. She heard all this stuff. She'd suffered from the physician. She spent all that she had. She wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. And she heard of Jesus. Amen. All that's in her past. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. Amen. She heard of Jesus. That he came and she came in the press behind. What's that mean? That just means there's a huge crowd that's pressing in on him. And thank God that man whose daughter was dying was there, because he stopped the crowd to talk to Jesus. And that was her opportunity, right? Because she's in a weakened condition. She's tapped out. And she's got to press through the crowd. She's got to get to Jesus. She's got to wiggle her way in there. And it says that, let's see what she says here. When, verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Where's the hem? Where's she got to be? She's got to be on the ground. Amen? She's got to get through that crowd, get on the ground, and she's grabbing for his garment. Thank God that man stopped. Where this one happened. Amen? And then when this happened, it disrupted him from going to his daughter. And oh my goodness, can you imagine the faith and patience he needed to have while this is all taking place? But she saw that. But here's the key. The Amplified says this. She kept saying in herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch the hem of his garment. She kept saying that in herself. What was she doing when she's saying that? She's building faith, isn't she? She's getting a vision for what she's about to do. She's building an expectation that when she touches that, she'll be made whole. Amen. And straightway, that means immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Instantly, there was a change in her body. Instantly, things stopped and corrected itself. Amen? It's a miracle. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power, anointing, had gone out of him, he sensed the flow. Now here shows you something that he's dependent on God because he didn't know who it was. Remember, he laid down that ability to know everything, right? He came as a man. He laid aside his deity. And he asked this question. He turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, why was she so fearful? Because women that were bleeding were not to be in the midst of a crowd. They're to be outside the camp. She was breaking the law to do this. She could have been stoned. Amen. So for her to say, it's me, she's taken a step. Amen. There is fear and trembling on her part there. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, my power has made you whole. Daughter, my virtue has made you whole. It's my anointing that's made you whole. What did he say? Daughter, thy faith. Whose faith? Her faith? Her faith made her whole? Faith in what? Faith in him. Faith in him. Well, you can have that same kind of faith. Amen. You can still, you know, when he went to the lower regions of the earth and he led captivity captive and they came in the train, that was past, present, and future. We're still in that train. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's the train? If a wedding train, what is that? That's the long flowing. We could still grab hold of that hem. Amen. By faith. You can grab hold. Amen. Because he's paid the price. It's done. It's complete. He doesn't have to do anything else. He's done it all. It's complete in Him. Amen. He's not going to do anything else. You're kidding me. No, I'm not. He's done it. What did you have to do for salvation? 22 push-ups, run around the block, genuflect here and there, go to church 17 times and feel like you're good enough for Him to receive you? What did you do for salvation? You did what? Accepted it. Received what? He'd already accomplished. Healing's the identical thing. Hallelujah. It's as simple as accepting the Lord, accepting what He's already done, thanking Him for what He's already done. Aren't you glad? He's not made this complicated for us. He's made it easy. Just accept and believe what He's done. Aren't you glad? So she heard, faith came, she took hold of it, and she received. Amen. Now there's one thing to be noted here. It wasn't a casual touch. Because He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What? There's a whole crowd around you. Everyone's pressing in on you. What do you mean, who touched you? A lot of people have touched you." So it wasn't just an accidental bump into Him. It wasn't just a casual brush up to Him. Let's just see what Jesus feels like. It was a purposeful touch. It was a touch of faith. It was grabbing hold with her faith. Her faith, thy faith, your faith has healed you. You believed it and you grabbed hold of it and you received it. Amen. 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 Luke 5:17 says, "And it came to pass on a certain day that He was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power was present to heal them all." Now here's the truth. His power is present to heal y'all. If you're in the corner of a room, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and it's you in the corner of the room, His power is present to heal you. Let's look at this. "And behold," verse 18, "a man brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means by which to bring him in and to lay him before Him," before Jesus. "And when they couldn't find by what way that they might bring him in," now the enemy's always going to try to stop you, isn't he? It seems like there's always something to try to trip you up. If you've ever been at a woman's retreat, you wouldn't believe the stories about what it took to get there, because there is always coming against something with their kids, with their job, with the spouse, with the car, with finances. There's always something. Well, the devil, truth of the matter is, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But God. Those are my favorite two words. Put you over every time. But God. It's an exception to everything. Amen. So it doesn't matter what he tries to do. Amen. We've got victory in Christ. So they couldn't find a way to bring him in because of the multitude. So they went on top the roof and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now that's some dedicated friendship. They're going to climb up on the top of the roof, rip open the roof, and lower him down right in front of Jesus to make sure their friend gets there. That's awesome. They believed something, didn't they? They believed if he just touched him, he'd be made whole. Every one of them have believed that, haven't they? And when they saw, when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaks these blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts and answered, he said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, 'Your sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say to you, arise, take up your couch and walk, and go into thy house." Here's one big, big thing that keeps people from receiving healing, is if they've committed sin, if there's been something in their past. Sometimes people feel they're undeserving of healing, that they're not good enough, they haven't been good enough, that they deserve. So one woman I worked with for years could not get her past that. She felt she deserved this lot in life because of the way she lived when she was younger. Couldn't break through that barrier. You know, he paid the price once for all. For all sin, all shame, he paid it for all. Nobody needs to bear shame on their life. He took it. And he says, "You're free, you're clean, you're white, you're holy, you're pure, you're sanctified. You've been set apart for my purposes. I see you perfect." He sees us through eyes of love. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. And if he's forgiven as far as the east is from the west, then who are we to hold it to ourselves? Who are we to say, "I'm not good enough"? If his blood wasn't enough, nothing will be. We just need to accept and forgive ourselves. We need to look in the mirror and say, "You are forgiven of God. Your past, it just doesn't exist as far as he's concerned." Amen? Because, you know, some people that are struggling with any issue like that, he needed to deal with that before this man was healed. He dealt with the sin issue. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. That's a major issue. And some people will never receive healing if they don't understand they're forgiven. They feel they deserve to be sick. They deserve to suffer. And it's not true. He paid the price. Amen? Immediately he rose up before them, and he took that where he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now there was nothing casual about that. Again, not a casual touch. They were purposed. They were not going to be denied. They ripped apart the roof. They lowered him in the midst of the crowd. Amen. You know, you need to press into God with a determined faith like that. I don't care what's going on around about me. I don't care who's doing what. I have a covenant with my God, and he's paid the price, and healing belongs to me. Amen. It's mine. It's mine. Amen. It not only is it yours, that's the other thing. We're trying to get it. We're new covenant. It's been given to us. Right? It's been delivered unto us. The banquet table has been set. You suppose there's some healing bread on that table? Pass the bread. Amen? We can partake. Remember that little Syrophoenician woman? Says, "Just the crumbs. You know, the dogs get at least the crumbs. Can I have a crumb? That's all I need." Her daughter was delivered, right? Well, we got the whole loaf. Amen. He gave it to us. So there wasn't anything casual. It was a determined faith. Faith doesn't have to wait. It goes after it. I remember I don't remember if you were in this meeting or not, but we had a guest minister in. It was so cute. Everybody was worshiping. There were some people. You ever see anybody get a little excessive? We had a few. And this lady was getting distracted by some excessiveness. So she came, she had a heart issue, and she was determined she was going to be healed. She wasn't going to be distracted by anybody's anything. She was going to meet with God, and she was going to walk away healed that night. So after a while, this was distracting her, whatever was going on over there. She went and she grabbed a modesty cloth, and she went up to the front. She laid herself down, covered herself up, and stayed there for the service, because she wasn't going to look at that and be distracted from the presence of God. She was determined. She wasn't going to wait. She pressed in. And I'm telling you, she had a mitral prolapse valve that was giving her issues. She walked out of that place with everything perfectly whole. And that wasn't anybody laying hands on her or nothing. She pressed into God. She was determined. I'm talking about a purpose faith. Amen. We're seeing it here over and over. There's a purpose faith. It's a determined. It's not sitting just, oh, Jesus, please, come by me. Oh, please, you know I have need of this. You know I'm hurting. God, please. Too many times we take that position, and it's the wrong one to take. He knows you're hurting, yeah. He doesn't want you hurting. He doesn't want you suffering at all. And he went a million miles, billion miles, who knows how far it is, out of his way to make place for us, to pay the price, so you wouldn't have to suffer. I don't know about you, but I'm very, very thankful for that. Now here's one more quick illustration. And it's in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. I'm going to read the Amplified. The people became impatient, and they spoke against God and Moses, and said, Moses led us to die in the wilderness. I'm going to just cut this short because I've got more to get done here. He said, there's no bread and there's no water, and we detest this wretched food, the manna. We detest what you're giving us, God, grumbling, complaining. Well, that's a big door for the devil. Walk in and just destroy your life when you sit and complain about everything. I don't like this. I don't want this. Don't do it. If there's something that's not right in your life, then give it to God and expect Him to make changes. Surrender it. Yield. Get in faith. What are you going to believe God for instead? We've got to change some things. Got to change our thinking. But they were grumbling, complaining. And because of it, then poisonous snakes bit them. And there's a miracle right there. They were in the desert, and there are poisonous snakes in the desert. And they've been wandering through the desert for who knows how long, and they had not one snake incident. God had a barrier around that camp. And when they opened the door to the enemy, what happened? They opened it through grumbling and complaining. Is that a serious issue? Grumbling and complaining is lack of faith. You don't believe God is big enough or can do for you what you want, what you need. He's not a big enough God. We need to guard our mouth and our heart. If we catch ourselves in that position, we need to jerk out the slack real quick and change it. But poisonous snakes came in and bit them. And the Lord told Moses to make a bronze serpent on a pole. Do you ever see the medical symbol? Where there's a snake on a pole, that's where this comes from. Put a snake on a pole. Verse 9 says, and when they looked at the serpent of bronze, this is how the Amplified says. Because we look and we think, oh look, okay, I looked. No, it says to look attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. I'm telling you, they camped in families. So grandma's there, Aunt Susie's there, your daughter's there, your husband's there, your wife is there, your grandpa, grandma, everybody you know and everyone you love is nearby, screaming, writhing in pain, hurting in their bodies. You get the picture? It's crying and screaming and dying. And you're supposed to not look at that, not be distracted by that, but to look. Fix your eyes attentively, expectantly. Amen. You're focused. We need to focus on Jesus like that and not be pulled away and not be distracted. It's a purposeful thing. We're setting our heart on the promise of God to see what he has already provided for us. I'm not going to be denied. I will not be denied. That's got to be your heart's cry. He paid the price. He already put his resurrection power in me. His life-giving power that raised Jesus up from the dead resides on the inside of you. How many are saved? You know you're saved. Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. All right, that's everybody in here. Then the resurrection, life-giving power of God is already resident on the inside of you. Put in there with a purpose. See, he has purposes too. To quicken, to make alive your mortal. That's the one here on this earth. Amen. So where do we need healing? Here on this earth. He's put it in there. So that you can tap into that. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus stabbed in his side. Hands and feet wounded. Back bleeding. Suffocated. Because that's what crucifixion does. Heart broken. The water gushed out. That's a sign that his heart was broken. And dead for 3 days. And it raised him up. Not a lesser power, but the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you to quicken and make alive your mortal body. Amen. So I want to give opportunity, and I'll pray and agree with you for that resurrection life-giving power to just flow through you and bring life, strength, health, whatever you need. If anybody in here wants prayer, we'll pray. Is anybody